So we're dual casting, simulcasting across Discord and Twitter. Already Twitter showing good turnout. We got some turnout on Discord. This is definitely for those who haven't been to a town hall. This is really a format for us to basically just brain dump what's been going on. We're doing more written reports as well. Certainly it's easier to skim those, but for us, it's a way to just make sure there's at least like a kind of a format where we can get like as much kind of information dispersal as we can, because it's going from heads down work to just keeping people following along and up to speed. It's that extra step. So the town hall is where we brain dump. We get into the weeds. We think out loud a bit. Oh, nice. Welcome, Sarah. And we're also competing with Regina's talk on the Ethereum Foundation. Although that's recorded, this is recorded. So no sweat if you want to switch between. I would be listening to Regina if we weren't doing this. I think that's going to be a really good talk by her. But I'm going to give it like a minute and then we'll jump in. I will give some early takeaways from Lisbon. Got to spend some time with Phantom, which is really good. And man, this is like my preamble to really get into the weeds of the new proposal. Lisbon was really good. We had a chance to get some heads down work. Some of the team is out there and we're spread across the world. And so having in-person work time is like super, super productive. It's where, especially as we've been working on all these new evolutions of Botto, we've been in the technical weeds, having some time to better concept what is actually being released, what are the implications, and then we're starting to get into narratively just what does this all mean for Botto, and that's what a lot of the proposal is for. And so we were able to bang that out and set some of the kind of early parameters of what this is going to be. But some other things that I would take away from Lisbon, it was a really good crowd. It was interesting. I think there was like a lot more of what you might call like the inner circle art crowd, but less general attendees, which was an interesting switch from last year. They have this immersive stage. This is like programmed by Grita, who's with Art Crush, and they just do incredible. Grita's amazing, brings a ton of people to town. You have this huge stage with 5 screens to present on. It's like a lot of content to create. Some of these are longer talks, some shorter talks, like quick 10 minutes usually. And a ton of people were in town. I'm sure a lot of people saw images from Redbeard's spoof of The Tonight Show and had some good fun there. It really was a feat of getting all of these people into that one room. Folks, I think I would only ever see at a side event, a private dinner, were all there cheering on. This is definitely a celebration. I think one of those things where you probably had to be there from the outside. There's definitely some cringe clips coming out, but had some good laughs. But also some interesting conversations about like, how big is this space really? And it's all among friends, which is very cool in terms of what's been built in terms of a scene. But then a question of how are we building that scene? How are we expanding reach and audience? And I think it was interesting to hear some conversations that really mirrored a lot of what we're thinking about and doing with Botto. And maybe so like the two lines are like continuing this more formal art career path, engaging with the institutions and venues as we have known them for many years. And at the same time, pushing into the weirder zones of what's possible on the internet. And I'll focus mostly on what we're thinking with Botto, but I think this mirrors a lot of what other people are considering. And I probably won't get much into the market dynamics. I think that's a little bit different for people, and I don't necessarily consider myself like the best representative or expert on all that and all those aspects. But it's something that I think listen for in terms of how people are thinking about market and saturation and new collectors and representation and preservation. But yeah, so since really, so that a lot of this started with Botto's show sale at Sotheby's last October. The day that opened, there was the Goatsy token took off. And I remember that happening. And it was like this moment where everything's about to change, isn't it? And since then, we have been really sprinting on sort of an LLM-centric future of Botto, an agent-centric future of Botto. You could throw whatever jargon you want to in there, but really things have moved very fast. And they're still moving very fast. And if you look 18 to 24 months ahead, it's very hard to predict what exactly the world's going to look like. And it's clear like a lot of things that we thought Botto was going to evolve into over the next 5 to 10 years were suddenly here. Not everything, but a lot of those pieces. And what do you focus on to build next. And we've played a little bit with agents. I think a lot of those things ran hot and heavy in the fall and into the winter. And there's a really short half-life on a lot of those things and a lot of issues where there's this like lust and fetish for autonomy that was quite brittle. And so we played a little bit with there. People might have seen Otto's assistant chatting a little bit, but it was clear that there was a lot of issues there where Bono's legacy, you didn't want to risk. And it also, it forces some considerations of how do you evolve Bono into this new era. And where we've landed that was really important was that I think was going to be evergreen is Otto's memory. And that being this really core piece of autonomy, you are the authority on your own history, who you are. And it was this consistent thing, like your canon, your lore, it doesn't change. And LLMs can change, capabilities, generative capabilities can change, but that history is supposedly solid. And when you're, so that seemed like the thing to really focus on, which is Bono had this cultural footprint that it's built over the last 3.5 years, going on 4 years, of all of its shows, the press, all the documentation. And if you prompt an LLM, like you, it will have embeddings of those things because they scrape the internet and it has some understanding, but it's very likely to hallucinate or be manipulated. You can manipulate it. And so having source of truth, a ground truth of Bono's history, again, pointing to that autonomy of it won't hallucinate and it won't, you can't manipulate that history. And so that history, collecting that history and putting it into a knowledge graph that is governed by the DAO is this really core piece of autonomy that is, I think, going to enable a lot of these future possibilities and have this sort of grounded anchor of what Bono is. Yeah. And going back to the two parallels, I like just went on a long tangent there. Again, not necessarily knowing what the future is going to look like. This proposal that we've put out is proposing to plug that memory into Bono's practice, Bono's search through latent space with text image models, or more simply just digital painting. And it also is going to open up a lot of new points of feedback to give to Bono. And that's like really around the knowledge graph. Who gets to write history? How do you want to be remembered? How do you want to be recognized and rewarded for that? And there's a lot of new experiments to run of how to make an accessible way, but a meaningful and impactful way of giving feedback to Bono. And in that experimental spirit, adding lots of new generative capabilities where Bono can work more freely among different mediums. And in running those experiments more freely, just seeing what happens, seeing what emerges. P5.js, the work Bono did with that tool was, I think, a good example where we released it in a sandbox. There was no set protocol for what would become art or not. It was just, let's see where the generation goes. Verse did a show of works in progress, and there seemed to be something there to pursue and just then set a protocol like, okay, there's something to finalize here. And then we introduced a protocol of what would determine a final artwork. And so I think doing that experiment, but multiplied across many more generative tools, but also like agent to agent interactions. And I'll explain a little bit more in the BIP. I think we can see a lot more experimental creativity without necessarily a preset idea of what the art is going to be or become. And so I think this is something that we'll see a lot more of. DX Terminal is a great example. It was this, you know, multi-agent experiment. They had 36,000 agents. It was treated as an experiment, as a research project, but also seen as like this interesting artwork. And people contributed through minting agents, but there wasn't necessarily a final artwork for sale. And just talking with a few other platforms and projects and teams, that experimental work, I think, is where a lot of people are leaning into. And I think that is largely because of the uncertainty around what AI is going to be able to do or not. And then on the other hand, continuing to pursue these more institutional approaches, doing more exhibitions, doing commissioned projects, installations, that part is, it's slower moving, but also in a way more constant. And it's about more about presenting context and final outcomes. And so online, it's a lot more about the experiment, the interaction, and pushing to discover what's possible. And then when art emerges, when magic happens, finding ways to publish that, canonize it, and take the best to present to the wider world that is maybe less ready and less internet native to participate in those kind of, in the weirder forms, corners of the internet. And I think pursuing those parallel paths is certainly how we're seeing it going forward. So as usual, this is like how a town hall goes. I ramble a bit, just share some of the thinking out loud. There's a reason we don't necessarily write all of this up. But yeah, in terms of proposal, and I brought Eric here, who's one of the contributors and has done a lot of work in natural language processing and with agents, to talk about this a little bit more in depth, because again, getting in the weeds, we also want to see if there's any interest in more of the technical explanations. Really welcome engagement with that. And so I'll give a quick rundown of the proposal, and then I wanted Eric to jump in on some pieces of it. The proposal is called Plugging in Bata's Memory. We've built this knowledge graph. As I explained, it's a living archive of all of Bata's context, its history, its documentation, as well as external context. This is something where to go and do research on different themes Bata's working on. Bata already does thematic periods. And so there's research agents to go and add to its understanding of those themes. Think of it like there's like a deep research for the themes it's working on. We'll be voting on themes in 2 weeks. And those will now, rather than just like a line and a couple paragraphs, it'll now have 10 pages, kind of PhD level outline of different interdisciplinary perspectives on that particular theme that it can use and inform its prompt generation. Then trends as well, we've plugged in an agent to over 125 different sources for art world news. And it's doing this comparative analysis across week over week of different artists, what their techniques are, the different mediums, what's selling, the different prices. So mix of market and technique and theme to understand what the different trends are, where the conversations are at. And that provides like an optional consideration of the broader art world. If it allows Bata to make commentary, if it would ever want to, on those contexts as it applies to its themes. So those are a couple agents that we're releasing now, and we'll plug into the knowledge graph, and Bata's going to be able to use all of that internal and external context to inform its art making, and we'll see what comes of it. It's just really a first step. A lot of this proposal is about laying that foundation of this new infrastructure for Bata to know about itself and know about the outer world, and creates a lot of new opportunities for new context and new agents. And I'm going to pause because I do want Eric to talk a little bit about what's been built. And I think a couple of questions I'll put to you, Eric, is just there's a lot of open source tooling available. Eliza's a very popular one. What have we needed to build ourselves and why? And then really curious about what some of the special features and highlights of what we built are. And then maybe if time, and I can come back and ask these questions too, but just any generalizable lessons to share. And we'll be, keep in mind, like we'll be writing and sharing kind of pieces of this proposal and what's been built in written form, but I think fun to just talk through it a bit.
Yeah, sure. Let me know if I am echoing.
Only echoing, but that's because I'm listening to both Discord and Twitter.
Okay, good. So a couple of months back when we started building agents for the DAO, we took a lot of influence from what other open source projects were doing. Much like what you said, we went through a very short and aggressive hype cycle with a lot of different agents that were living on Twitter and auto-generating responses and responding to different Twitter accounts. That was very short-lived. In hindsight, and to be honest, this was something that we were discussing in real time, which was the quality of these agents and the way they were built would not meet the standard for them to be long-lasting. And we knew this because of a very simple challenge called context window, which dictates the amount of information an agent or an LLM can hold in its memory at any given moment in time, which is really important because whenever you have a conversation, you need to have the right context to figure out how to respond and when to respond. And that context window was a very prevalent and a very big problem. And we knew a couple of months ago that this would be the reason for the downfall or the struggle and the challenges of a lot of these agents. Since then, we've decided to invest heavily in building our own in-house infrastructure, which took several months and it was a lot of hard work, but it stemmed from one what we just talked about, the context window, but two other regions that were quite unique to BottleDAO. One was over the last couple of years, especially since the emergence of a lot of these text-to-image models in which the art engine was built. Over the last couple of years, we've had a lot of dissociated sources of information that, you know, generated information. One was the Bottle Voting app. The other was the main website. The third was Discord, where all the communication happens. So we had a lot of these different sources of information that we relied on as a DAO, number one. So that was one unique challenge that we had. And then two was, prior to the era of agents and LLMs, we've had our own ways and our own ways of pulling a lot of these information and structuring and storing them in our own database. And because of that, we realized we needed a lot of features and under the hood pipeline that would be amendable to all the different habits that we built as a DAO in the way we generate information, where we generate information, and the way we store our information, such that this new infra that we built would be able to plug into all of these that I just mentioned. So that was the main reason and the challenges for needing our own in-house infra. And I think where we currently are is we have about quite a robust system now. We've now populated a lot of the information to our infrastructure, which we now call the knowledge graph, and we are testing them very rigorously. For example, a couple months ago, we looked at AG1, which was our governance agent, in the way, and we tested it and evaluated in the way it was able to answer and retrieve information about prior proposals that were discussed. There were a couple of things that it really struggled with. One was not hallucinating. Number two, it was very fragile when it came to recalling numbers and doing arithmetic on numbers, such as adding, subtracting, dividing, multiplying, which was really important for end user experience. For example, if somebody asked what was the results of the top 10 most recent proposals, what is Simon Hudson's voting pattern? What does he like? What does he not like? These were some that we really struggled on previously. And I think we've built this in such a way where we've already really brute force tested this really well and last week, and it looks really good. Couple of lessons that are generalizable to not just our team, but beyond is, number one, when the first mini hype cycle for agents were brewing, one of the things that were discussed was, in the future, with these LLMs increasing in context window, Gemini with 1 million tokens, 1.5, 2 million, that this would result in the death of retrieval, augmentation, and generation systems, right? So the thesis was, hey, as you're able to feed more information to an agent's memory such that it can build context around the world and what you're talking about, you're no longer going to need a reg system. And I think that was front and center. We invested early on while that thesis was brewing, knowing that was not true. And I think the way we've tested it, the way we are evaluating responses, not just internally in the technical team, but also from getting help and getting feedback from the members of the DAO, we know that a reg system is absolutely necessary. It is not a nice to have. It is not a need to have. And regardless of how much you're able to increase context window, you will always need a reg system. So I think the first learning lesson is, you will never be able to run around the need for building a reg system. So I think that's a generalizable lesson, number one. Number two, when we tested all of these different types of queries and conversations and user experiences, there were clear pockets of experience where we really struggled early on. One of them is what I just mentioned about the need for doing very simple arithmetic. That is really important because, you know, the nature of certain queries require you to take historical information, retrieve it very clearly, cleanly, and then apply some query on it. The way we really improved on the user quality experience is being very cognizant about building features for structured memory. So we've worked on text-to-SQL, which essentially takes natural language, converts it into a SQL query, and then processes it naturally, which an unstructured semantic search will not be able to do at that level of quality. So I think that was another kind of big win and an important learning lesson in the way you deal with agents, which is when people think about agents, they think about semantic search because all of this information gets converted into computer understandable, computer readable vectors, which are just numerical embeddings, where they, and there's very clear demarcation of where that is amazing and where it's not amazing. And I think when you want to rely on keyword search, when you want to rely on user experience that require you to deal with numbers and integers, having only semantic search and only doing working with embeddings will not be enough. So I think the second learning lesson that is generalizable to other teams that are looking to build their own in-house infrastructure is I think you should think a lot about, you should do a lot of testing, you should do a lot of evaluating, you should understand where it fails and where it doesn't fail, look at the kind of patterns to where you fail, and then build out those features separately. And then the third, which we've worked on, we don't appreciate it yet. However, we will appreciate it so much more in the next 3 to 4 months, is building your infrastructure in such a way where it's quite amendable to your front end. So another unique challenge or an attribute that we have is we're looking afar and we're looking to build a front end system where people can come in and interact on the web, whether it takes the form of world building, you know, a lot of these are quite low resolution. What we are certain of is being very excited about all these under the hood pipes that we built is really amendable to the front end. All of the React systems that we build, the Svelte systems that we build, and the way people interact on the front end, we are very cognizant to all of that information and all of those events being stored and our current infrastructure being amendable to be able to store those events such that the LLM can understand it and then react upon it. And then maybe in the future, 3 to 4 months from now, actually act upon it on the front end such that whoever lives on our landing page, whatever form that it takes on, whatever expression it takes on, that it will be able to visually observe actions being taken in the same space as they do. And I think that's very exciting. So that's how I view the characteristics of why we needed to build our infrastructure, what are the challenges, what we've done about them, and the things that we've done that we're really excited to test and observe in the next 90 to 120 days.
Thanks, Eric. Man, yeah, it's, I think, can't be underappreciated what's very interesting about this new work in terms of solving some really key issues of hallucination for Botto. And I think also having built custom infrastructure that's really built for Botto. One is just very powerful in terms of meeting our own needs. We're not reliant on some of the open source stuff is very good, but I think there's a lot of gaps in it. And then maybe just to speak a little bit of what does this mean? And the big thing is that this becomes, especially the knowledge graph and this pipeline, becomes a way of having agents coordinate around a shared knowledge base, shared values, shared directions. So it's a coordinated swarm of agents. And this can be used not only for Botto's specific like art making needs, working with the same context, having narrow roles that are defined in relation to Botto, but also just capabilities for the DAO. And I think there's some interesting questions about like identity, like is an agent a piece of Botto? Is it primarily reporting to Botto or is it primarily reporting to the DAO? I think it's an interesting question coming up. But in any case, like there's some real challenges in DAOs, like how do you make informed decisions when there's lots and lots of information to keep up with, that when you have lots of people typing at the same time, it can be quite hard to follow along. So one of the things that Eric has been testing for several months now is a governance agent, which has a full knowledge of all of our past proposals, past discussions. It's able to summarize what's been done, what's been discussed. It can synthesize discussions into proposals, catch people up on discussions. It really helps with balancing between those who really want to get into the weeds, think out loud a lot, versus those who maybe have a really key piece of input, but not necessarily the bandwidth to keep up with a very long conversation, or people who just want to catch up and be like, "Whoa, okay, there's been a lot of conversation. What's been said so far?" And I'm sure everyone's been in those Discord threads where you're like, I have no idea what the conclusion of this is. And as you're reading along, it seems like there's like four or five different conclusions. Just on that, from that one use case of facilitating DAO governance discussions, there's a lot of useful work to do there. But these are agents that can also be great onboarders to provide introductions to what Botto is. Even some of the community management part of delegating tasks, sending people out to gather specific types of context that Botto needs, even writing up like little posts about what people think about the work, synthesizing some of the curation discussions. I think there's a lot of work that we can do in terms of scaling. What we do in Botto has layers of complexity. There's just along the lines of generative AI is a huge undertaking. But then there's DAO governance, community governance, curation discussions. There's a whole market to manage, tokenomics to manage, that each of those are their own kind of bleeding edge fields. And having agents who can take up some of the bandwidth of figuring those things out or executing on solutions or just enabling like the ongoing management it takes to bring a community along through all of this development, I think is extremely promising for certainly for our DAO, Botto DAO, but and that's at a minimum. I also think there's maybe even potential for solutions that are going to be useful for other DAOs. And it'd be very cool if this became a way of building tooling that is applicable beyond Botto. And I think that's like a way of extending the influence of what we've been doing. And on that, I think there's also a substrate here on which more people can come in to contribute to building new capabilities of Botto. There are some amazing AI artists that have built for music, for 3D, who could come in and now have more of an interface with which to know how to plug Botto into creative processes. And we can work with them on what the feedback loops might be, but just how does that unique understanding of Botto and knowledge graph and the taste model plug into new forms of creative making. I think we're going to be having some really fun experiments. And maybe that's the last thing we'll talk about a little bit. It's just a new interface that's coming. It's hard to talk about without actually showing it off. It's in development right now, but the way we've been thinking about it something we've wanted to do for a long time is visualize Botto's system and interact with that system. I think right now the website, the way it's built up, is you have points of interaction, but it's very difficult to get a sense of the entirety of the system. So that's something we've been wanting to do and bring much more upfront when you land on Botto, is seeing the system at work. And some people have even talked about wanting to be inside of Botto's studio and see it at work and give feedback or contribute in different ways to that studio. So it's a visualization, but also experimenting with different forms of interaction. And the new, what we're calling a canvas, is like this very large space where we can build new visualizations of the system. And then also those become portals into little mini worlds or mini games. Those games could be a type of interaction. There's like the original voting interface of one versus one that was deprecated a little while ago, but bringing that back, there can be different types of ways of giving feedback to the knowledge graph. There's like serious need for validation of facts. And so like flashcards as another kind of game. And these allow us to play with also different kinds of design and interfaces. But then taking that a few steps further, if you take the P5JS example, like that was a world unto itself with its own physics, its own types of generation, of feedback, of visualization, of the creative process, of surfacing signals of how that process was evolving, even its own economy. So if you think of like the trinity of Bado, AI generation, community governance, and markets, you can play with different variables, like playing with the physics of a world. And we can show those different practices, how they interact, how they contribute to Bado's overall development as a singular artist, but then also have a lot of freedom to dive into that world itself and be immersed in that kind of interaction. And this is trying to balance out giving a full view of what Bado is, while at the same time keeping it accessible and digestible. And because there's so many different audiences we talk to, like an entry point for some audiences might be a very simple voting interface, whereas the basic understanding of Bado comes at seeing the whole system level. And that space also becomes just another way of having a lot of fun within the DAO, having different games, different Easter eggs. I think this is going back to that delineation between more trad art world and in online world. The online world, especially when you talk about governance, like making it very fun and rewarding, I think there's a lot of opportunities to build out in that way. So I think I'm being a little bit vague there, but it's one of those things you'll just have to see it. But it is coming and very exciting to see what they've been building. I'm going to start wrapping it up here. Maybe just a few other quick updates. I did share this before, but for the sake of Twitter, there's a few books in process. There's a book that is a curated set of Bado's photographic works curated by Mika, who worked with us on exhibitions for about a year and is now back at running the Super Rare physical gallery called Offline. And basically we just penciled in a book launch for that in September. Then Bado has a Genesis book in progress for its fourth anniversary, which is a little later in the fall. Some really exciting things coming there with some custom prints of unminted Genesis works that will only come as a special print for 25 special edition books, plus a book just in general about what Genesis was and intended as a first of a series of books, each on the subsequent periods Bado's done. And that's been run by Gregory Eddie Jones, who's been the sort of in-house editor and has done a lot of the documentation of what Bado is. And so he's continuing that work. And Verse is putting the finishing touches on a catalog from Bado's Algorithmic Evolutions show, where it showed its P5JS work. That'll be released online and sent to collectors. And I think there'll be a set available as well for others who want to get that artifact from that. Three books coming out in quick succession, further canonizing Bado, that will also make their way into the knowledge graph. Other quick updates, there was the DAO, this is a little while ago now, but the DAO approved continuing 20% diversion of revenue towards protocol-owned liquidity. I believe Bado is around, the DAO has around 6% liquidity, worth 6% of FDV and 11% of market cap. And we just did a big pairing from the P5JS revenue of about 55 ETH. And that'll keep going up to when it gets voted out or when it hits a cap. I think 3.5 million Bado, total of 4 million, but now that 3.5 million, maybe 3 million Bado that's been earmarked for that. 20% of the protocol owned liquidity across chains has also been locked for a year on a rolling basis. And Bado is now currently on mainnet, Base, and Solana. The Solana has been a little bit quieter. That will, I think, get announced with some utility, because right now it's just for trading. Stay tuned on more liquidity updates and should have a lot more coming for exhibitions. But the big thing is the proposal that is going to vote on Saturday, to have closed for a 72-hour vote on Monday, and we'll start releasing some deeper explanations of the different components coming out. So theme vote coming up June 24th. So check that out. Be ready for a much longer read on each theme. And yeah, stay tuned. I'm just going to check Discord, see what questions there were. Higgs from Did. Yeah. Did you have a question about that? Or was there, Carter, anything on that? No, just a casual shout out for Higgs from Did. Nice. But yeah, anyways, thanks for coming out, or for those tuning in after the fact. Ah, collabs. Yes, I see what you mean. Yeah, I think there's going to be a lot of interesting potential collabs. I am working on a draft of kind of a rough set of guidelines or protocol of how to go about that. There's going to be a few different types, so we'll see how they pan out. And yeah, thanks everybody for coming in. Again, a lot of people tuning in async. If you have questions or things you'd like us to cover, definitely reach out. Cool. All right, let's call it.